Welcome to the Cool Tools Show. I'm Mark Frauenfelder, Editor-in-Chief of Cool Tools, a website of tool recommendations written by our readers. You can find us at cool-tools.org. I'm joined by my co-host, Kevin Kelly, founder of Cool Tools. Hey, Kevin.
Hey, it's great to be here.
In each episode of the Cool Tools Show, Kevin and I talk to a guest about some of his or her favorite uncommon and uncommonly good tools they think others should know about. Our guest this week is Jane Friedman. Jane is a full-time freelancer who reports on the publishing industry for outlets like Publishers Weekly, as well as her own newsletter, The Hot Sheet. She's especially known for helping authors understand the rather opaque business of making money at writing. Hi, Jane. How are you?
I'm doing well. Thank you.
Yes. Welcome, Jane, to our little chat about tools that you're excited by.
I'm delighted to be here.
Yeah. So you're a freelancer and a writer. And so Kevin and I have been freelancers and writers for large portions of our lives. So this will be really interesting to us.
And I need some tips about how to make money writing.
Help us. Yeah. So let's get started with your first one, something that's called Wave. I like the first word is free. So I'm especially interested.
Yeah. Well, speaking of freelancing, even though I was a freelancer kind of on the side of my day job for many years, it was pretty rare that I actually had to deal with any kind of bookkeeping, expenses, or invoices. And but when I went full-time freelance about 5 years ago, I realized that I couldn't keep relying on this mixture of memory and fragmentary Excel sheets. So, you know, miraculously, I stumbled on Wave. It's free. And it's also free of any jargon. And I was just able to start using it despite not having any background in financials. And, you know, kind of at first, when I started using Wave, I was a little embarrassed. Like, I'm not doing real accounting. Like, this is some kind of art school student system. But then when, you know, I hired an accountant to do my business taxes, and I sheepishly told him, okay, here's all my stuff. I've put it into this system called Wave. And he was like, great, this is wonderful, no problem. And he didn't see the need for any more complexity. And so I've been strutting around ever since and relying on it entirely. I haven't found the need to do anything that involves the word quick or Quicken or anything like that.
I see. And so this is something that runs on a desktop, laptop, and phone as well?
It's a totally a cloud system. So okay. you log into Wave from whatever device you're using.
Sure. The word free, while it's really very becoming and alluring, it also these days makes me worry a little bit because free things often go away.
Yes.
And so how are they making money?
Yeah, what's the catch, right? So yeah. Their business model is partly based on running credit card transactions. So for instance, if I send an invoice through Wave, which I do, and someone pays by a credit card, then you know, there's this cut of the transaction that they're getting. And so that's part of it. So they also have other services that you can purchase through them. So like they have bookkeepers that you can hire, people where if you need the help to sort through your accounting nightmares, you can get that.
Mm-hmm. So you use it as an invoicing system too, it sounds like.
I do, yes.
Okay. Well, that's very powerful. Or it's in other words, you would send an invoice through Wave to a client, and then they would pay basically Wave, and they would pay you.
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Okay,
that's cool. And so, is that the main thing you do is to like create invoices, or do you like save your expenses and your receipts in there? Or
invoicing is, in fact, the smallest part of it that I used. Most of the time it's for tracking expenses. So like all of my bank accounts are hooked up to it. So that my business credit card, my business accounts, I have a couple, PayPal as well. I also have like two separate business entities, two different LLCs, mm-hmm. and I'm able to put both of them into Wave and track them separately from each other, which is another huge time saver for me.
And then presumably it also generates tax for tax form stuff as well.
If I haven't used it for that, I have an accountant who does all of the taxes for me, but I do believe it can generate 1099s if you pay. They also have payroll features that I have not taken advantage of. So if you had to run payroll, I believe they can do that for a fee.
Well, it's the cloud. The cloud's the future. So this seems like a really great, great idea.
Yeah, it looks really good. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And so here's another tool you have. It's called Otter, and it's a transcription service.
Yeah, so I do a lot of online education. I do webinars and weeks-long classes that include audio and video lectures. And some of this instruction is pretty technical in nature, like here's how to write a book proposal, or here's how to put together a website, or here's how you use these databases to do such and such. So it can be really helpful for people to have these lectures in writing to refer back to, rather than scrubbing through the audio or the video. But transcribing hours and hours of lectures is not something I want to spend my time doing. And for years, it was just kind of out of the question for me to hire it out as a one-person business, just very time-consuming and expensive. And then I found Otter, which allows you to upload an audio file, and in very short order, probably not longer than it would take you to play the recording from beginning to end, you can get a transcript. And it's like a really good, amazing transcript. You know, it's not absolutely 100% perfect, but it's close enough that you don't necessarily have to go back and edit it depending on what use case you have. So it's readable if there are different speakers like you might have in a webinar. Otter recognizes the speakers and labels them appropriately. And then you can, of course, edit the transcript on the fly. And even more mind-blowing for me is that you can get 600 minutes of audio currently transcribed for free every single month. So I've been using it so far on the free plan.
Nice.
So there are a number of other AI powered transcription services, including some that have been mentioned by others here. One is Trint. Have you done any kind of a comparison of these the AI transcriptions right now?
I haven't used Trint, so I wouldn't be able to compare it to that service. But I think the thing with Otter that it has impressed me so much is the aesthetics of the interface and how intuitive it is. It's just a beautifully designed application.
And you said you're doing webinars, and when are you giving it just an audio file, or you're giving it like video and audio file?
I'm giving it just the audio file. So I've scrape off the audio layer and upload that.
Okay.
But it integrates really well with Zoom. So like if you already use Zoom for meetings or webinars, you can have it interface with Otter and have those things automatically transcribed without even doing anything.
Wow.
Oh, that's great.
You mean that like as soon as it's finished, it's actually transferred to Otter and then it comes back?
Correct.
Oh, wow.
That seems really good.
And so I might have the same question for Otter. Free. Great. yeah. Free. How does this work? So 600 minutes, that's a lot of minutes per month.
It is.
How are they making their money?
Well, they have paid plans, and you know they're really selling it currently as something that people would use to transcribe meetings, where you basically every meeting you run in a month, you're transcribing, and so that you can quickly run through your minutes if you're at a university or you're at a corporation. So that's they're definitely monetizing, and I have a feeling that 600 minutes isn't going to be there for very long.
Right,
a premium plan gives you 6,000 minutes a month for $10 a month. So that's 100 hours a month. That's like a crazy amount.
That's like for university, you might need that. But sorry, a single person could probably not even generate that much. Well, this is, this is the future of AI. So it's only going to get better and cheaper in some ways. I was asking about video because that's one of the things I'm working on, is taking a bunch of videos I've done and actually trying to get transcriptions of them from the video. I'm not having to strip out the audio, which I could do, but actually just uploading the video like a YouTube and then getting back a transcription, which some of the other AI transcriptions are doing.
Mm. I see.
And then I guess ideally, what I'd like to do is just have it drop in as like closed captions. that's next month, I guess, right?
Yes.
Okay, well, this is a good find. Thank you. Two great ones that we didn't know about. Tell us more.
Yeah.
All right. Well, the next two are probably on the softer side.
We like soft.
Yeah. I'll go over to Alan Watts, who this is not somebody I had ever heard of when I first discovered him. But I found this lecture series called Out of Your Mind. It's produced by Sounds True. And Alan Watts, if you're not familiar with him, when he was alive, he called himself a spiritual entertainer. He was well known in San Francisco in the 50s and 60s and lived on a houseboat in Sausalito. So that kind of gives you a sense of the time and place that he lived in. And so before I kind of encountered these lectures, my exposure to any kind of Eastern religion was extremely minimal, and I didn't necessarily have an interest in it. But when I, through a recommendation of a friend, I picked up these lectures because I was facing just some really difficult life decisions, and I thought, well, maybe listening to these would bring me some clarity. Well, they didn't make the decisions any easier, but Watts has to be one of the most gifted lecturers I have ever heard in my life. I mean, he's not one of these intimidating, perfect-seeming gurus. He's like that rascally, kind of fun priest you might have known as a child who has this mischievous grin. And so listening to this series, it's like 14 hours where he explains the world in 20-minute increments. And it really rewards repeated listens. And it's astonishing to me that it was recorded, I guess, 50 years ago now. Like, it could have been yesterday.
I think a good like 30 to 40% of Alan Watts is his amazing voice.
Yes, yeah. His voice, his delivery, a little bit of his accent, but is actually his audio persona yeah. is just, I mean, I could listen to, he could be saying anything and I'm just listening.
Yeah, it commands your attention. It's just like, yeah, he could be babbling and it's just like, this is brilliant.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
I mean, also he's now become quite kind of hip and people are taking some of his speaking and using it for overlays of time-lapse photography and all kinds of things. Cause it lends kind of like, David Attenborough, you know, it's kind of, it kind of amplifies whatever it is that you're watching. But the thing you're talking about, Out of Mind, say it's 14 hours is, and that's available as, I guess it's a CD and an audio book, maybe. Is
yeah.
That right?
Yeah. You can get it through Audible or you can actually get all 14 CDs or however many it ends up being.
Is it on? And this is only versions that you know about. Maybe there's a YouTube version too. I wonder.
There's an Alan Watts app which I also purchased. It's not as good quality though as the Sounds True version. It does has more lectures but it's not curated. It's like not organized into kind of a narrative.
Oh.
So although it's interesting, it's Sounds True just has the best packaging. Okay. And yeah,
that is the information we wanted to hear. So Out of Your Mind by Alan Watts is what you want to look for.
And so the audio CD set, I'll just say, is $64.55. Did you do it through Audible?
I actually bought the CDs.
Oh, you bought the CDs. Okay.
And how many CDs are, like, there's a dozen of them or so?
It's at least a dozen.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's on Audible though. That's how everybody does it now, right?
Right. You would think so.
Yeah.
But the Audible book says it's either $41 or $14. I don't know what that means. Oh, that's with the membership. Okay. So it's, yeah. So it's $42 with Audible, which I guess it's considered more than one book.
I guess so. That's strange because a lot of books that are like 50 hours long count as one book on Audible.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
All right. Well, anyway, that's a very good one. And I can't get enough Alan Watts. So this will be good. Love it.
No, if I had to change my voice, if I had, you know, I think I'd have Alan Watts' voice if I had a choice.
That's a good one. Yeah. Or Terrence McKenna's. I'll take his too.
I'd take Alan over Terrence. Okay, so a fourth one for you, Ding. What do we have here?
So I'd like to recommend the School of Life conversation cards. And this requires a little bit of background. One of my favorite authors of all time is Alan de Botton, and he's more well known in the UK than in the US. He's known for these pop philosophy books that have a bit of a dark tinge to them. So like a theme through a lot of his work is how to live life expecting disappointment.
Wow.
So some years ago, he started a business called the School of Life. And he, you know, which is kind of unusual, like he's this author of philosophy books and he starts this business. And its premise is that there are all these things that we were never really taught how to do, but that we need to learn in order to have a happier existence, like how to make a friend or how to be a good spouse or how to deal with painful shyness. And so School of Life runs classes and publishes books to help with these components of life. And they have something called conversation cards. So these are cards you can use at parties or dinners or with a small group of friends to spark more meaningful conversations, to encourage a little bit more vulnerability, to help you recognize that everyone's kind of in the same boat as you, probably emotionally, in terms of your flaws. I've used it in so many situations, and it's brought a lot of richness to where before I would be just a little more socially stunted, let's say, and more and not so somewhat reluctant to start a meaningful conversation.
So could you give an example of a situation where you broke these out and used them to good effect?
The last time I was on vacation with my family, my family is not the most actually talkative group, and it takes someone to instigate in order to have a good conversation. So I brought these cards out, and it just led to anecdotes from their lives that I had never heard before. So instead of repeating the same stories we always repeat or grouse about, we were instead breaking new ground.
That's cool. I'm looking at some sample questions here, like what makes you most stressed? If you had to write a book, what would it be about? What plausible government action would make you leave the country?
Yeah. Well, we're almost at that
exactly.
One.
What would make us stay?
Yeah. If you can read your partner's email, what do you fear you might discover that would upset you? Okay. Well, yeah, I can see why this would spark all kinds of very honest discussion. Maybe you could imagine some kind of a party or holiday party.
Yeah.
Or even a date night. Yeah.
Yeah. There's a specific set called, I think, the dinner set, which is specifically to use at dinner parties, and they're themed cards. Mm-hmm. Those are quite interesting as well. So you pick a theme for the night.
We should also mention that design's really nice, isn't it?
Yeah.
They're beautiful.
So there's 100 questions. Okay. And there's then different sets. All right. Okay. Got it.
There's work and love, right. But there's also a general set.
So while we're at the School of Life, is these cards just part of this school? I mean, I'm just curious now if there's other parts of this guy's School of Life besides these questions.
Oh yeah, it's a very multifaceted business. So I've in fact been to one of their in-person events, which was held in London, and it was a full-day workshop on how to be better at love, which I happened to take with my then partner, who is now spouse, like prior to getting married, which was a great exercise. Again, in moderating your expectations of what's going to happen. And so these conversation cards were used as part of that event. And there's also a lot of the wisdom that comes through in the sessions. It's encapsulated in the books that they publish. And it's also freely available through the School of Life website. So I think they call it the Book of Life, where you can go to the site and read much of what's available. So from a publishing perspective, which of course my background's in publishing, I'm fascinated by how he's able to take this content and use it for many different purposes in many different formats of helping people wherever they need it. And they also have a wonderful YouTube series as well.
Oh, I've seen those. I've actually posted some of those to Boing Boing. They're like explainer video animations.
Yeah,
they're really good.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it gives me an idea. I should take my books and turn them into cards. That's never a cool occurred idea, to me Kevin. Before, but now I'm okay. Well, speaking of publishing then, so let's talk about your newest project, your book.
My book is The Business of Being a Writer. This is something that I did for mainly creative writing students because I would go to conferences where I would meet MFAs in creative writing or people who had recently graduated with a degree like that. And they didn't quite grasp yet that getting a book deal does not equate to a full-time salary or a full-time living, say beyond, even if a year, and probably not beyond a year. And so the book was meant to try and wake up students early in the process to the fact that there are many ways to earn a living as a writer, but it's probably not going to be through book sales. So you need to start making plans now for what it's going to look like and where the compromises are going to be.
Don't want to spoil what you're having in the book, but what are those some kind of other venues that writers have as a possible way to make a living besides writing books? Besides making cards out of your books.
Indeed. So something that's very popular right now, especially for more literary writers, for poets, people whose work isn't necessarily commercial, is to start a Patreon or some method of getting reader support. So, Kevin, it's not so different from your 1,000 true fans concept. And so platforms like Patreon allow you to better kind of monetize a fandom without having any special skills, without having to set up, a robust website. Here's a platform you can put it to service of your career right away. Mm-hmm. For many decades, of course, one of the key ways people would earn a living is through teaching. But, one of the reasons I found writing this book so important is that the teaching jobs in creative writing for writers just aren't there like they used to be, especially tenure track sorts of positions. The creative writing industry has produced so many more people than, could possibly be used at a university level. So it's necessary to find freelance life methods of earning a living or doing, whether that's online education or more traditional forms of education if you're teaching. So the book at the end kind of goes through all of the different ways that you might cobble together a living. And usually it's multifaceted. It's not just one thing. You're weaving together 3, 4, 5 different things.
And this information, the kind of wonderful wisdom that you're conveying in this book, have you thought about, using other means besides a book? Do you have a web version or a video version that you are using, or is it really important that it be written down because you're talking about writing?
It doesn't have to be in a book. And so what I've done so far is do full day workshops at different places around the country, usually in partnership with conferences or universities, trying to reach people where they are. Especially in the programs, and go through for 4 hours or even 8 hours across a weekend what's involved and figuring out a business model for each person.
That's really great. Of course, you're using workshops, and that is another means too for writers, which is to host workshops.
Precisely.
So the business of being a writer, that's really great. But you also have a newsletter too, right? And that's been going for a while, or I'm not sure. Is that new?
Yes, it's been around for about 4 years now. It's called The Hot Sheet. So this is one of my forms of revenue for my writing. It's a paid subscription newsletter.
Uh-huh. Are you on Substack?
No, I started this before Substack came on the market. So I totally, you know, rolled up the technology on my own to support it.
And it's on the same kind of thing, aimed at writers, kind of trying to be the inside dope on the publishing industry?
Right. It's for the same audience, but for what I would consider a more advanced audience. So it's for people who would definitely consider themselves professionals and aren't scared away by some of the business talk. Mm-hmm. So, in issues, I might talk about the increase in audiobooks, for instance, the growth of that market and where it might be headed in terms of voice assistance, which is also a big area of discussion, how that will play a role in storytelling in the future.
How might voice assistance play a role in storytelling?
One person, this is his name's Ron Martinez. He runs a startup called Headcanon. And he thinks that voice assistants really benefit people who want to tell serialized stories. So he sees it as a way to get people to kind of binge listen to a story and perhaps pay when they don't want to wait for the next installment. Hmm. So you bait them with one or two installments, and if they don't want to wait to hear the rest, maybe they'll pay Alexa $4.99 to get them all at once.
Cool. That sounds good. Jane, did you initially start your newsletter charging right from the get-go? Or I'm just interested in that. I think that's a dream of a lot of people, is to have a newsletter that people pay for.
It is.
How did you get that? How did you get that started?
It is the unicorn, I think.
Yeah, it totally is.
So I did charge right from the start. That said, I've been giving away free information and content going back to roughly 2008. So by the time I launched the paid newsletter in 2015, I had a really well-established platform. I already had a free newsletter with 15,000 subscribers. I already had a blog with 100,000 visits a month. So I had lots of ways to reach people through my own channels, and that's not even to mention mm-hmm. social. So by the time I launched it, you know, people, they already knew me. They trusted me. It didn't require much marketing aside from saying, look what I'm doing now. And mm-hmm. so I've been very lucky.
So you said you had a newsletter already. Is that newsletter still going, or did it kind of become this newsletter?
No, the free one is still going. I call it Electric Speed. And in fact, many times I'm inspired by what I read in Cool Tools and mention your recommendations in that newsletter. Cool.
Okay. And it's not just about publishing. It's what is it about?
It's mainly an audience of writers and other creative people, freelancers, but it's not focused on writing. So it's basically looking at what are the tools and products and inspirations for people who are creating in a digital age.
Oh, well, I need to sign up for that. Yeah. I didn't know about that. That's good. The cool tool for this one. It's called Electric Speed, was it?
Electric Speed.
Yeah, I just found
wow,
it.
Wow, man.
We'll have a link to it.
Okay.
Thank you.
That sounds a little bit like Wired.
Yeah, it does. Electronic Word, yeah.
Well, you're incredibly prolific. I'm intimidated by all that you're doing. Two newsletters, you've got this book. Are you doing podcasts too?
No, I've drawn the line.
Okay.
I'm happy being a guest, but I don't want to start one.
Alrighty. We could chat forever because you're in our territory. You know, Mark and I make books and other things. And I have of two minds about the future of books. And, I'm working on a huge, big book, but it's all photographs. And we just produced another book this Christmas. But at the same time, my kids and their friends are not reading books. And the center of gravity is indisputably moving away from books and onto the screen. And, not to say that I don't think reading is going away, but just the book thing, the format, the whatever you want to define it, I think it's being pushed to the side. They aren't going to go away, but they're not at the center. And so I don't know if you think about those kinds of things, or whether that's part of what you write about?
It is. I do think about it all the time, and it's part of what Hot Sheet tries to stay on top of. What are the new innovations that we're seeing? Like I mentioned, headcanon. Where is the growth occurring? Where is the business getting softer? And certainly, I think what you're saying is absolutely true, and that the numbers bear it out. Where attention is going bears it out.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm glad you're keeping on top of it, because I think where we're moving to, you know, there'll be new dynamics, new models that we don't have yet that are still missing, and, you know, new ways to make an impact. And so I'm so glad that you'll be there writing about it.
Yeah. Thank you.
Jean, thanks so much for joining us on the podcast. Super interesting tools, and you're a really interesting person too. So it was a delight to have you.
My pleasure. Thank you.
Yeah, I always love it when you tell us about four things I had no idea about, even though I should have known about some of them. So we were all new to us. They're really great stuff that we're glad to share. And thank you for being on our podcast.
Thank you.
Hey, everybody, it's your host, Mark, and I wanted to thank you for listening to the Cool Tools Show. And I also wanted to let you know that we've got a lot more going on at Cool Tools than just this podcast. We also have the Cool Tools website, which has a new tool review every day, and you can get there by going to cool-tools.org. We also have four different newsletters that you can subscribe to, and you can subscribe to those from the Cool Tools page. We have this podcast that you're listening to right now. We also have a YouTube channel where we review tools. Check that YouTube channel out by going to youtube.com/cooltools. And one of the things I'd like to ask you is, if you're really enjoying everything that we are producing, go to our Patreon page and support us there. You can sign up and give us as little as $1 a month, and that would mean a lot to us. The money that we get from Patreon goes towards a lot of things. We transcribe our podcast interviews so that you can read them online. We pay for editing of our podcasts and for our videos. We pay our contributors. We have video production costs. We have equipment costs. We have hosting costs. And the money you give us through Patreon also goes to support Cool Tools Lab. Anything you give is a huge help. And one of the things that we do is, if you are a contributor to Patreon, we'll give you a shout out on air. And so I have a few people here to thank this week. Mark Lyonage, Micah Gates, Monty Zukowski, Patrick James McNally, Robert Cohen, Scott, Spence Lloyd, Steve Avery, Steve Golden, Steve Levine, Tom Hess, William Phillips, Aaron Nipper, Dharab Patel, Glenn Mercer, Jay Walker, Jeff Bonaire, Ryan Jarrell, Pat Daly, Patrick Kennedy, Troy Wallett, Mike Camerate, Nicole Harkin, Tim Youssef, Scott Reed. Thanks all of you for supporting Cool Tools. And if you would like to have a shout out, go over to the Patreon page and sign up. And thanks for listening to the Cool Tools podcast. We'll see you next week.